"I say, Queequeg, why don't you speak? It's I, Ishmael." But all remained still as before. I began to grow alarmed. I had allowed him such abundant time, I thought he might have had an apoplectic fit. I looked through the keyhole, but the door opening into an odd corner of the room, the keyhole prospect was but a crooked and sinister one. I could only see part of the footboard of the bed, and a line of the wall, but nothing more. I was surprised to behold, resting against the wall, the wooden shaft of Queequeg's harpoon, which the landlady the evening previous had taken from him before our mounting to the chamber. That's strange, thought I. But at any rate, since the harpoon stands yonder, and he seldom or never goes abroad without it, therefore he must be inside here, and no possible mistake. "Queequeg! Queequeg!" All still. Something must have happened. Apoplexy. I tried to burst open the door, but it stubbornly resisted. Running downstairs, I quickly stated my suspicions to the first person I met, the chambermaid. "La, la," she cried, "I thought something must be the matter. I went to make the bed after breakfast, and the door was locked, and not a mouse to be heard, and it's been just so silent ever since. But I thought maybe you had both gone off and locked your baggage in for safe-keeping. La, la, ma'am, mistress, murder, Mrs. Hussey, apoplexy!" And with these cries she ran toward the kitchen, I following. Mrs. Hussey soon appeared, with a mustard pot in one hand, and a vinegar cruet in the other, having just broken away from the occupation of attending to the castors, and scolding her little black boy meantime.